And we are back here on Unusual Sources 93.3 CFMU FM, bringing you the news from Hamilton and from the rest of the world. And certainly we do that today. And we have an update on the very serious situation in the Middle East. I'm very glad today that I can bring us Islamic scholar and editor of Crescent International, Zafar Bengash, who should be joining us just now. Hi, Zafar.
Hello, Brandon.
Hi. A very difficult and busy time, I know. Zafar, probably familiar to many of our listeners. He certainly keeps up on the news, reads a lot of newspapers and other media from Central Asia, watching all the political movements, keeping us informed here in Canada. And I know there's a lot happening, some of it quite unfortunate. There's been an article in Crescent Online, just came out in the last day or so. This one is called "Supporting Terrorists, Turkey Shoots Down Russian Plane," and it's looking at the serious potential consequences, but the serious nature of the incident in general. So, Zafar, I'm just wondering, what can you tell us about the incident specifically?
Well, this occurred yesterday, which is November the 24th, and the Turkish media and government claimed that this Russian plane, Su-24, had entered Turkish airspace. This is the Turkish version of the story, and they claimed that they had given at least 10 warnings within a period of 5 minutes. Now, today we had the information from one of the pilots. There were two pilots. One of them actually was killed when he had parachuted into Syrian territory, and he was, of course, killed by these terrorists that are in that region that are normally referred to as moderate Syrian rebels. So these moderate Syrian rebels murdered a Russian pilot in cold blood, which is, of course, against international law. The other Russian pilot was retrieved by Syrian commandos from inside Syrian territory, and he has been taken to a Syrian military base, where he gave a statement today, that is November 25th, and he said they had not strayed into Turkish territory at all. They were within Syrian airspace, and that they had received absolutely no warnings from the Turkish military or air force, but that two Turkish F-16 planes, which are, of course, American-manufactured, they fired a missile at this Russian plane, and it was hit, and the Russian plane fell inside Syrian territory. Now, I want to point out that the Russian Air Force is operating in Syria with the permission of the Syrian government. The air forces of all the other countries, whether it's the United States, its allies, or Turkey, or any of the other countries whose air forces are operating inside Syria, are doing it against international law because they have taken absolutely no permission from the Syrian government. Now, this incident is serious in the sense, this Turkish attack on the Russian plane, because the Russian plane was operating and flying inside Syrian airspace. And number two, on the much broader perspective, it is obvious to us that it is only and only Russia that is going after these terrorists in earnest, whereas the other countries that claim to have been involved in bombing operations against these terrorists in Syria, they've been doing it for more than a year or almost a year and a half now, and they have not been able to degrade these terrorists to any significant extent, whereas Russia, since it started its bombing operations on September the 30th, has caused significant damage to the terrorists, hence the panic in the other capitals of the world that are actually supporting these terrorists, whether it's the United States, the Zionist state of Israel, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and so on.
Yes, it's very disappointing. There had been considerable progress against ISIS since the end of September, and now an incident like this happens. And as you're suggesting, it kind of brings up a question of motives. A number of people had, or a number of countries as well as people and commentators, had been upset with the role that Turkey had been playing in this campaign. I'm wondering, you know, the shooting down of a Russian jet just seems to solidify in the minds of people that Turkey is intent on keeping a ground war going to overthrow the Syrian government. So this is just sort of in the line of confirming that after a number of other incidents.
Yes, of course. You see, no less a person than the Russian president has said, and he issued that statement yesterday in Sochi when he was meeting the Jordanian King Abdullah II, Vladimir Putin said that this was not only a stab in the back for us, but that our plane was attacked by those people that are supporting terrorists in Syria. And he also warned of very serious consequences. I also want to add that I don't think that Turkey would have taken this action without consulting its NATO allies. And what seems to me to be the case is that Turkey and NATO and the United States are trying to provoke Russia into a war that Russia certainly does not want. It is only going after these terrorists in Syria that are trying to overthrow a legitimately elected government in Syria. Whether we like Bashar al-Assad or not, the fact of the matter is that he has been elected by the people of Syria. There was an election in Syria last year in which the overwhelming majority of the people voted for him, including refugees that had fled from Syria. And we were told that these refugees had fled because the Syrian government was bombing them, etc. And yet, these refugees that are outside Syria, wherever they got an opportunity, they went in droves and they voted for Bashar al-Assad. Because for them, the choice is between Bashar al-Assad and these organ eaters and these throat cutters and these mass murderers and rapists, which obviously the people of Syria do not want. But in the context of what has occurred or what occurred yesterday, it is obvious that these terrorists are backed by very powerful countries around the world, whether it is Britain, the United States, even Canada, the previous government. In fact, there was an incident earlier this year in March whereby a Syrian person who was in close contact with the Canadian embassy in Amman, Jordan, who was involved in smuggling British girls from Turkey into Syria. And when the Canadian government was asked, particularly the Department of Defense, they simply said, well, we do not have such a person on our payroll, and we do not have such a person on CSIS's payroll. Well, he does not have to be on somebody's direct payroll. If he is liaising with the Canadian embassy in Amman, Jordan, then I think that should raise some very serious questions and concerns about the role that the Canadian embassy is playing in this whole affair. Secondly, in June of this year, there was a person of Swedish citizen who was arrested in London, England. He was put on trial, and during the trial, his defense lawyers asked the British government to present some intelligence officials of the British government, because this Swedish citizen was accused of joining a group of Syrian rebels that the British intelligence was supporting. So on June the 2nd, the British government actually withdrew the charges against that Swedish citizen because they did not want to appear in court to answer questions as to what British intelligence were doing supporting a particular group that this person was accused of joining. So you see that there is a whole string of evidence that is available to us that indicates that Western intelligence agencies are deeply involved in supporting these terrorists, and then they keep on accusing other people, and then they keep on accusing the government of President Bashar al-Assad of indulging in these kinds of acts. Like, you know, for instance, we know that in May of 2013, John McCain had gone to Turkey, and from there he entered Syria illegally, and there he was captured on camera meeting Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the head of ISIS. And then when that, in fact, that photograph was released by McCain's office, and when it came to public light, and McCain's office was asked to clarify, they gave the lame excuse that, well, we don't know who everybody is in Syria, so perhaps, you know, that person might have come in the meeting without McCain's knowledge. Now, anybody with even an iota of understanding of the global issues, John McCain cannot possibly be meeting terrorist heads unless there is direct clearance for that meeting from somewhere. I think what had happened was that McCain's office made a serious blunder in releasing that photograph, because McCain had also gone to meet a person by the name of Colonel Idris, who at that time was heading the Free Syrian Army. But in that meeting, we in fact in Crescent International published that photograph, McCain sitting right opposite Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi and having a very animated conversation.
Yes. Well, for those that might just be tuning in, we are speaking with Islamic scholar and an editor of Crescent International, Zafar Bengash, and we're looking at this incident that occurred with the shooting down of a Russian jet. You're talking about the context, this sort of operation where a number of NATO countries basically have been caught quite a number of times or seen a number of times facilitating the flow of armed fighters to illegally go into the country of Syria and keep this thing going there. I guess if you want to look at the specifics with regard to the last 24 to 48 hours, Turkey is really standing out at the moment. And I'm wondering about the particulars of this, because we know that NATO has objectives, that the United States leadership has constantly called on the Syrian leadership to step down, that they talk about regime change. But I'm wondering, what's Turkey's game here, or what do they want, and in what way are they specifically involving themselves in this conflict in Syria?
Well, the Turkish president, who used to be prime minister before, has this vision of grandeur. He wants to revive Turkey's great role that it had played prior to the First World War as a leader of the Muslim world. And I think some of the NATO countries, particularly the United States and others, have also given some kind of indication to Erdogan, who is currently the president of Turkey, that the United States would support Turkey's ambition to be the regional hegemon. And so Turkey is going all out. In fact, there is absolutely solid evidence that these terrorists are trained in Turkey. Turkish intelligence is involved in facilitating their transfer into Syria. Turkey is involved in financing these terrorists and supplying them weapons, and that some of these terrorists, when they get injured, they are even brought back into Turkey for medical treatment, just the same way as some of these terrorists are treated in hospitals in Israel as well. This is again documented. Israeli newspapers have reported on this. And in one instance, the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu also visited wounded Syrian terrorists in Israeli hospitals. So in the case of Turkey, it is because of its ambitions to be the leading hegemon in that region that it is playing this role. And we must not forget that Turkey was also involved in 2011 in the overthrow of Colonel Muammar Gaddafi, the leader of Libya. Although before Turkey got involved in Libya, Turkey had very close relations with Libya. They had, in fact, something like $10 billion investment in Libya. And they were told that once Gaddafi is overthrown, that Turkey would have the lion's share of contracts in Libya, and it would benefit a lot more. But we know the consequences after Gaddafi's public lynching in October of 2011 as to what has happened to Libya. It has descended into absolute chaos, and a lot of the terrorists that were rampaging through Libya have now found their way into Syria as well. And they are the ones, along with people from terrorists from Chechnya, from Saudi Arabia, from Afghanistan, Pakistan, Jordan, a whole host of countries that have all descended upon Syria. Most of them facilitated their transit, facilitated through Turkey because of this vision of grandeur that the Turkish president has. And he's often been referred to as the Pasha of Turkey now.
Well, what is the significance of that?
Well, the Pasha means, of course, the Sultan or King. Because, you know, the Ottoman rulers were called Sultans or Pashas. So Erdogan actually wants to call himself the new Pasha or the new king.
Mm. Well, you know, it seems that in Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Israel, a number of West European, American countries have formed a sort of gang to get involved in Syria. None of these countries were invited to send in armed forces or to bomb oil infrastructure or anything like that. But they invited themselves in there. And you point out Turkey has these sort of pre-World War One regional ambitions. You know, that gets me thinking, World War One, it doesn't sound too distant from what we're dealing with right now, where you have alliances and borders, alliances forming, borders being crossed, agreements coming into effect. These are the kind of things that can trigger off the situation, like you had the Balkans bringing us into World War One.
Absolutely. You see, the current situation as it is evolving is extremely dangerous. There is a real fear that it might erupt into a war between Russia and NATO countries, and that would, of course, be the Third World War. You know, there is deliberate escalation taking place. Like, you know, today, the Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov was supposed to visit Turkey. He canceled that trip. There was also a call by the Turkish foreign minister to his counterpart to have a meeting somewhere on the sidelines of any international conference, and the Russian government rejected that, and they have said that there are going to be serious repercussions for what Turkey has done because it was an unprovoked attack against a Russian plane that was within Syrian airspace. It had not strayed into Turkey. So it was an act of naked aggression. One of the curious things that we heard yesterday was Barack Obama saying, in reference to the Turkish attack and downing of the Russian plane, he said that, well, Turkey has the right to defend itself and its airspace and territorial integrity. What Obama forgot was that American planes are routinely flying and violating Syrian airspace. They are violating Syrian sovereignty, and yet he keeps on harping about Turkey defending its airspace and sovereignty when, in fact, Russia had not done anything of the sort. In fact, evidence is available from all the data. In fact, nowadays, these things cannot be hidden because there is information available as to precisely where a plane is situated in the air. Because now we have all of these radars and satellite imagery, and all of this information is readily available. So the allegation that Turkey is making is completely false, and there is a real risk that this whole thing could escalate into a full-fledged war between Russia and NATO countries. And if that should happen, that definitely is a Third World War.
Given that situation, and with these armed aircraft flying very close to each other, what can be done to de-escalate the situation, or how do you think that this should be ended in a way that it doesn't lead to an escalation of the conflict?
Well, I think the first thing that ought to be done is that the United Nations Security Council should condemn Turkey's downing of Russia's plane, because Russia's air force is operating inside Syria completely legally and within the bounds of international law. So it is not Russia that has violated international law, it is Turkey. So then it becomes incumbent upon the United Nations Security Council to condemn Turkey for what it has done. Number two, I think Turkey ought to offer an apology and compensation to Russia, not only for the plane, but for one of the pilots that was killed, murdered in cold blood, and that Turkey should stop interfering in the internal affairs of Syria, because it is none of Turkey's business or that of Saudi Arabia or the U.S. or any other external power to determine who should be the leader of Syria. It is exclusively for the Syrian people to decide. So whether they want Bashar al-Assad to be their president or anybody else, we should all respect the wishes of the Syrian people and not try to impose rulers on them, because that would lead to more chaos. So the first step is to de-escalate this conflict by Turkey taking certain steps that would ameliorate the crime that it has committed.
Yes, I mean, if Turkey had not flooded Syria across its borders with fighters and weapons, this campaign would not have lasted this long. There wouldn't be armed aircraft flying so close to each other, and confusion about borders and who violated international law. This, as you say, they need to step back and not decide to be involved in conflicts that are happening inside Syria.
Absolutely. Or anywhere else for that matter. Like, you know, if let's say there is a country that is facing any threat internally or whatever, then it is for the government of that country to decide what kind of help it wants. It cannot be for outside powers like the United States or Britain or Israel or Saudi Arabia or Turkey to decide that they are going to help these terrorists over there to overthrow a legitimately established government. I mean, that is actually an invitation to chaos. Regardless of whether people like Bashar al-Assad or not, or people outside, that is, it is for the Syrian people to decide. And in fact, we also ought to be cognizant of the fact that a lot of the propaganda against Bashar al-Assad is completely false. He's accused of all kinds of things. You know, I can give you an example. For instance, in August of 2013, there was a chemical attack on a place called Ghouta. And immediately, there was a hue and cry, and allegations were made that the Syrian government has done it. And the United States was about to launch a bombing campaign against Syria, because Obama had said that that is his red line. If chemical weapons were used, then the United States would definitely attack Syria. But British intelligence discovered, in fact, their labs in Britain, in Wiltshire, in fact, when they did the analysis of the kind of chemical weapons that were used, they confirmed that these kinds of chemicals were not in the arsenal of the Syrian military. And so it was only at that stage that the American government stepped back. So you can see that all kinds of allegations are made against the Syrian government that are completely false, but those allegations are made because it serves the militaristic agenda of other countries. And so what I would suggest is that this whole issue needs to be de-escalated. In fact, a political solution is needed in Syria. 5 years of bloodletting have proved that they cannot overthrow the government of President Bashar al-Assad. His army has not disintegrated. His government institutions have not disintegrated. What these terrorists have done is to destroy much of Syria, but little else. And they cannot bring any security or any well-being to the people. All they can bring is death and destruction. And I think it's to the benefit of everybody concerned that this chaos should be brought to an end through a political solution, through negotiations. And President Bashar al-Assad has indicated that he and his government are open to that. In fact, 2 weeks ago, there were discussions in Vienna regarding this, the second meeting that was held on the future of Syria. And another meeting is due to be held, although I'm not quite sure exactly what its future is likely to be in light of what has happened with the Turkish Air Force shooting down a Russian plane. But nonetheless, there was a momentum towards a political solution that seems to have suffered a setback. But I think that needs to be revived so that the tragedy of Syria can be ended, so that the suffering of the Syrian people can be brought to an end, and peace and security established in that country.
Well, I don't think it could be said any better than that. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Zafar. I'll make sure this gets out there. It's not all bad when we get these propaganda stories served to us by governments about Ghouta or other things that have been happening in Syria. People do question these things, and it's gotten to the point where some legislatures have said no to escalation and intervention. And that momentum was building for serious talks about the actors involved ending the conflict in Syria. And aside from these horrible provocations, the path you've outlined is, I think, what's necessary. So thanks very much for taking the time with us today.
It's my great pleasure, Brandon. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was Zafar Benghash, editor of Crescent International. You can just Google that, Crescent International, Crescent Online, keeping us informed there. We're very grateful for that, and there's been some very good commentary about this latest incident in a few online publications.